This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Thanks so much for joining us on the show, Kate Delaney. If you're here for the first time, welcome, welcome. If you've been here for a long time, thank you, thank you. Very strange times, my friends, that we live in. In fact, when it seemed like the world was opening back up again, so many events are getting canceled, especially if they were in September or the beginning of October. And then you have Amazon, who's not bringing back its workforce in-house anyway until January 2022. As a speaker and somebody who traveled and took this show on the road, I've had three events now cancel and change because it looked like it was going to work, and then because of the Delta variant, there was a change of heart of having an event somewhere, and instead it was moved to 2022. I mean, we all are longing to be back together again, and the sooner we get rid of this Delta variant or these problems with COVID, the better, because we're seeing how the cases are clicking up, and it's just been so it's made us all weary and worried. Wearied and worried, I guess, in some cases, right? It just depends on your point of view, but I think all of us feel like we are ready for this to lift. That's for sure. A couple of things to talk about here in the beginning, including, hey, coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Sarah Moore from the UK, who's written a book called How Hitler Came to Power. And it was so fascinating to talk to her because it's always about follow the money, right? And so follow the money. She talks about how Germany cleverly got reparations, but yet things that had happened where they had stolen money, and how she put some of the pieces together. So look for that interview coming up around the bend. And it's great how she pieced it together. Before we get there, though, however, some other things to talk about include what's going on in Florida, what's going on with our confidence in fighting COVID. In Florida, you've got more people that are desperate to get oxygen, and of course the cases are surging as of last week. That just continued. And why can't they get oxygen if there's supposedly plenty of oxygen supplies? You know what it is? It's a shortage of drivers who are qualified to actually transport oxygen, as well as restrictions around how long truck drivers can actually be on the road. Stuff that went into effect following the expiration of the public health emergency in the state, meaning that the supply isn't getting to the hospitals that need it the most. And there was even a suggestion that from the Brigadier General David Sanford, remember him? He's a member of the Health and Human Services Department Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. Boy, that's a mouthful. And he says, there's plenty of oxygen. They're just not in the right area. And he's saying the fastest way to help hospitals that are running low on oxygen would be to move it from somewhere else in the state. Another solution could be asking industry people to relocate their own supplies in the state so that you get that oxygen up. I mean, Florida has over 11,000 plus COVID-19 patients who were hospitalized as of last week, taking up more than 20% of intensive care unit beds as of the beginning of, you know, August. And these are stats from the Florida Hospital Association. And the stats don't lie. It is ugly. And can you just imagine somebody needing the oxygen? You know the supply's there. You just can't get the supply. You can't get it. So they're really trying to pull out all the stops and make that happen. And it's pretty scary, I think. The poll that came out last week that showed some of what we're thinking, at least as far as people with masks, not masks, vaccinated, not vaccinated, and there are greater numbers more than ever of people who have lost friends, family members who died from the disease, and people who have had friendships break up because of differences of opinion related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Overall, 20% responded yes 68 responded no, and another 11% I don't know when they were asked in a survey by YouGov, have you lost any friendships because of differences in opinions related to what's happening with COVID? Wow. I guess it's not a wow, because I know what I see it, and I have friends who have definitely gone through it, and then I have other friends who are see no evil, hear no evil, and just kind of burying their heads in the sand and don't want to know. But it's hard to not know. I say this show is about the buzz in your backyard. The buzz is over this. It's our livelihoods. It's our lives. It's our future. It's kids. It's our families. It's what is happening in the history of our lives, whether you're in the UK, Australia, or here in the great United States. I mean, this is all banding us together, sadly. And boy, do we want it to lift. But wishing and hoping, they don't make it happen. So you have some hard feelings all the way around. And I'm telling you, every time I get together with any friends, male or female, conversations, there's at least a couple of minutes spent on what's happening in their neighborhoods. What's going on in your neighborhood? Here's what's going on in our neighborhood. What do you think? What do you think? Is it broken? What do you think is going to happen? What do you think we need to do? I mean, whether it's a few minutes of a conversation or it's much lengthier, and it's not because of what I do, it's because that's what people are talking about. You know, that's what people are talking about. And it's so heartbreaking, some of these stories, right? You know, we're saying the same old things. What is the answer? The answer is, we got to get rid of this. We know that. We got to get rid of this, period. Because not having a surge in new cases is a good thing. We had those bright spots. That was a really good thing. But now we're going in the opposite direction. And that's not good. Because none of us want to see that happen. We want to get back to it, don't we? All right, speaking of getting back to it, I'm all for infrastructure, but boy, oh boy, looking at this rush to pass this infrastructure bill, there's this new analysis out that came out last week that shows it would add $256 billion to the deficit. So, you know, in pushing and making that happen before the recess, one thing, but then you look at the other side of the coin, and maybe sometimes I don't do that enough, you look at what that's going to add to the federal deficit over the next decade. That's a lot. The Congressional Budget Office looked at the cost of the legislation, which was one of the major hurdles in passing it, and the CBO calculated that nearly half of the new spending, $256 billion, would be financed by adding to the nation's debt between 2021 to 2031. So that contradicts pretty much the claims of Republicans and Democratic proponents of it, saying that the measure would fully pay for itself, which is what I was led to believe and talk to people about. Well, that's a little bit different. So if you're a fiscal watchdog, this is kind of a gimmicky thing, and this happens when you're talking about budgets and allocating funds. And, you know, it's vacation time, and moving forward means you got the dilemma of, again, how is it being financed? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the deficit and heaping more on it? But there's got to be a way to figure out this infrastructure thing. Anyway, you can email me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Sarah Moore coming up next.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared, and now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
From the UK is Sarah Moore, and she's written a really intriguing book. If you read this book, I think you're going to have some problems because you're not going to be able to put it down. So I hope you sit down, start reading it, and realize you're going to keep reading it. The book is called How Hitler Came to Power. Think of that question. How did Hitler come to power? And I can remember in history class those discussions came up, and the answers were never very, very clear. She has definitely done a lot of research into this, and it's fascinating. Some of the details, a lot of the details that she has pulled together. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really pleased, Kate.
What made you decide to tackle the Hitler question?
Well, I met this the son of Hitler's steel magnate, who told me that Germany had trashed her currency on purpose after the Second World War in order to eliminate her debts and teach the German people how to work, he said. And this made me question what was in my son's history book about our reparations and Germany's great inflation being responsible for Hitler. And I had a terrible argument, and this book is the result, you could say.
And what did you find out that was so surprising, or what I didn't learn in America in my history book and what your son in England didn't learn?
Firstly, I learned that Germany ended the First World War with twice as much gold in the Reich Bank as when it went to war. So it wasn't a weak and innocent country when it left, when it finished the war, because it must have stolen the money from somewhere else.
And so your thoughts as to where they stole the money?
Well, now we are more aware of where it stole the money from. It stole a lot from Russia. It stole a lot from Poland. It stole from Belgium. And it destroyed all France and its mines and industry on its retreat. He even stole the apples and the corn from northern France as it retreated. So there you are.
Wow. And as you were digging and learning more and more about other elements of what happened, World War One, et cetera, what are some of the other things that you found out that people will learn about in the book?
I think that they will have a new perspective on her great invasion. And I also think that they'll come to think of, have a new perspective on the Great Depression. That's what I hope. Because I believe that Germany was strong in the Great Depression and that that she was responsible for it, basically. Largely responsible for the Great Depression. We've blamed ourselves, we've blamed the gold standard, all sorts of things, but ultimately it was Germany who was responsible for trying to get rid of the shackles of Versailles and return to dictatorship and to go back to war, because it was the Prussians who were in control, not the Democrats.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because in lots of people that would be controversial, like, what are you talking about? But in your research, they're clearly, especially when you, they always say follow the money, which is what you did. When you follow the money and look to that, you can see how clever Germany was, as you say, in getting people to feed back into Germany when already they had the money.
It's... Yeah, it was clever of her to say she was poor in the start, and of course, as we couldn't extract reparations from her because we were too weak, we went on to say that we agreed that she was poor. France tried to extract reparations, and at least. Germany stabilized her currency afterwards, but then America, tried to keep her on side by lending her money, but it didn't work, is the answer.
What in the book, and you can pick this up on Amazon or wherever any books are sold, really, How Hitler Came to Power, we're speaking with Sarah Moore. What did you find out about Hitler? Because, you know, that's always the question is, how did Hitler come to power? Was it a big PR machine? Did he have the right men in place to prop him up?
Well, he started by being a drummer for the Nationalists, which was the old guards, Hugenberg and Krupp's sort of pan-German organization. And in 1928, Hugenberg, who had been Krupp's managing director, decided that they weren't going to, the ordinary people would not accept a return to the Hohenzollern dynasty, and they must find a man of the people. And he put him on the committee of his promotion against the Young Plan reparations deal in 1929. And you can see, people can read about 1929 and to see how far Germany and Alfred Hugenberg were responsible for that Wall Street crash in 1929. Because it was... The Young Plan was a new deal on the reparations, and he started a petition which he put Hitler onto, which gave Hitler enormous publicity. against any paying any reparations at all, and to try the German president for treason for agreeing to pay it. So that's...
Wow. Just another one of those, as I say, connecting some different dots. When people read this book, what do you hope as the writer they take away from reading your book?
I hope they'll gain a new perspective on the Great Depression, because I think the Great Depression of the 1930s has parallels with the Lehman crash and its aftermath. There are parallels there, and I think that I hope that people will look into them.
And is this kind of a forewarning to, hey, keep up with what's happening, pay attention to what's going on out there in the landscape, so we don't have another Hitler come to power?
Absolutely, yes. we want democracy in the European Union, particularly, yes, and everywhere else too. Yeah. You know, in the aftermath of the Lehman crash, there were extreme right-wing movements in various parts of Europe because they felt that democracy wasn't helping them. See what I mean? There we are.
Right. So it's important to look back at that perspective. I mean, that's that old saying about history is bound to repeat itself if we don't learn from history.
And I think we have slightly drawn a veil over it. And I don't know whether it's a really good idea to do so. But yeah. I hope people will read the book and they'll decide for themselves.
And I like that the best. It's like you said, let people decide. You know, I've done this research. It was fascinating. I pulled it together. But you're saying people have their opinions. Let them read it and then they can decide.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which is so, so powerful. So, again, the book is How Hitler Came to Power. Sarah Moore, thank you so much for coming on and for this book.
Thanks so much. very kind. Okay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In Afghanistan, the U.S. Embassy there is urging Americans to leave as soon as possible now that the Taliban has taken control of the city of Kandahar. They predict the city of Kabul will be next. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
We are always evaluating the situation on the ground. We are planning for all contingencies. This was a contingency, in fact, that we had planned for.
3,000 U.S. troops are heading back to Afghanistan to help Americans and allies get out of the city and to secure their airport. Tropical Depression Fred is expected to gain strength back to a tropical storm by Saturday. The National Hurricane Center said there's only a slight chance it could make it to a Category 1 hurricane. They said they expect the storm to move onto the Florida Panhandle by Sunday night. The biggest impacts are expected to be flooding and poor beach conditions. This is USA Radio News. Next week, the Bureau of Reclamation is expected to limit state's water from the Colorado River. USA's Lance Pry reports.
Drought and high demand are expected to force the first ever mandatory cuts to water supply that 40 million people across the Colorado River depend on. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation's project next week will spare cities and tribes, but hit Arizona farmers hard. Pinal County, Arizona's top producer of cotton, barley, and livestock, says they will be hit very hard. Arizona is expected to lose 512,000 acre-feet of water. Nevada will lose 21,000 acre-feet, and Mexico will lose 80,000 acre-feet of water. An acre-foot is enough water to supply 1 to 2 households for a year. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Britney Spears' father said in a court filing that he's planning to step down from the conservatorship that has controlled her life. Jamie Spears filed the legal documents. He said he'll step down after some lingering issues are resolved. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6. And it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
I'm so pleased to take you to Scotland this time around. Boy, oh boy, Linda Hayher has written a book called The Power of Childhood Dreams, and it just jumped out at me because it features the law of attraction, something I really, really believe in, something I wasn't taught, but later in life it has served me well as I learned all about it. She has quite an interesting background, so before we go to her, I got to tell you a little bit about her. She, for 40 years, worked with the National Health Service there, so you think, you know, health, and we talk about that so much, whether we're in the United States or in the UK or Scotland or Ireland or Australia, because we have listeners all over the place. So you can imagine the things that she's seen in 40 years from a nurse all the way up to management. And then plus what's really cool, and this is something that I've just learned more about, the power of acupuncture. And she understands and knows that and has done acupuncture with people. So I bet you she has stories there. But we're going to talk about her book and the road that led her to writing The Power of Childhood Dreams. Linda, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome, and nice to meet you, or speak to you anyway.
Yeah, so I can only imagine what, you know, with the background you have and so many people's lives who you've touched, I hope they all know that you have this book out, because I think that's so powerful. Did you ever think when you were doing the things that you were doing before that you would write a children's book?
Absolutely not. Never. It never crossed my mind to write a book.
And how funny. And now you have grandchildren and you have certainly things that you've seen that have worked for people. That's why I mentioned heavily the law of attraction. So what made you write this book, The Power of Childhood Dreams?
Well, having read about the law of attraction, having grandchildren, I thought it would be beneficial for children to gain some knowledge in this area. I like the fact that the law of attraction included gratefulness and other values such as believing in their dreams and in themselves. And I felt children weren't getting taught this in school, and they need, particularly today, they need to believe in themselves and to aim for, have goals and a purpose in life. And I hope that this will give them the basis understanding of how to progress through life using the law of attraction.
Oof, boy, that is powerful. If you can start young, imagine some of the obstacles that I think kids could navigate around. Tell us about the story. I know one of your main characters is Tom, and the fact that you decided to make him a doctor is interesting. Tell us more about the story.
Well, the book was to introduce children to the law of attraction through a fictional story. We took account of introducing the old doctor to an adult initially, as we believe children should be aware of not speaking with strangers. The reason I chose a doctor is because majority people believe in their doctors and their knowledge, and I was hoping that relaying it through a doctor would help children to understand it and to believe in what he was saying.
And wow, so that's, I agree with you. I think of my doctor as a kid, and I would have thought he knew everything. And there's something about that. There's something about the doctor and the relationship, especially with kids. And so the kids, there's three kids, and you decided to make it three because you thought that was the perfect number?
Yeah. I think it needed to be a small group for the story to be told to, rather than having a large group around the telling of the story.
Yeah.
And I thought having three friends together would be a good way of doing that.
Was it fun for you to come up with this story and let your imagination kind of flow?
Yes, it was, and I was quite surprised at myself. Sorry, I did flow.
And then you actually do the book and you see it. And I say that people talk about writing books all the time, but when you actually do it, when you actually saw the book, what was that like?
Wow, isn't it amazing? And I got someone to make the pictures around the story, and that was amazing to see it all coming together like that.
Yeah, and the illustrations are such a big part of children's books because, of course, that they look at the pictures and they relate to what the words are. So if you really like the illustrations, I think that marries the book together well, don't you?
Yes, I think it does.
Yeah, and you can tell that in your book. What do you hope that people listening to us is a great gift, or they have children or they have grandchildren or nieces or nephews? What do you hope that people take away from picking up your book on Amazon, let's say, The Power of Childhood Dreams? What do you hope they take away from that, the kids, when they read it?
I hope they take away the fundamental values that I've mentioned in the book, and particularly gratefulness and being grateful for what they do have. And just being understanding the importance of learning, but also the importance that as the more they learn and the more they go through life, you know, their values, their goals can change. They don't have to be fixed in a certain thing. And they might, as they learn more things, they might decide to take another path from what they originally set out on the path that they set out. And that's okay. It's okay to do that.
Well, I sure think so. Did you take the original path you set out on?
Yes, for the nursing I did. Very much so. But then I diversified and went into traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and was practicing that along with working in the NHS.
Right. So I would say you took the traditional path, but then you did the thing that happens so often to us. You did something else. Even though you initially went down your original path, you realized, hey, there's other paths I can take that I like.
Yeah. And it very much complemented. Well, I guess my overall path is helping people. And yeah, really, this book is about helping people also. So the traditional Chinese medicine complemented the knowledge I already had.
Yeah.
And it helped balance that out, which was good.
Yeah, and you said it. helping people, so this time helping kids, little ones, where they can get on a stronger path earlier and process things in a lot better way, I think. And there's the power of that, the law of attraction. And the book, again, is The Power of Childhood Dreams. Linda Hayher, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Thank you.
What I love about Linda Hayher is the fact that she has so much experience. I mean, she is really passionate about health and wellness and all of that. And if you go to her website, which is lindahayherbooks.com, so Linda Hayher is spelled HEHIR books.com, you can learn much more about her. But she mentioned that at the top, that she had 40 years in the UK health service as a nurse, and then she was a nurse manager, what they call a quality nurse manager, and then 17 years in complementary medicine. And then she was also an EFT practitioner. And to boot, she is a qualified traditional Chinese medicine acupuncturist. And, boy, I have a soft spot in my heart for anyone who does acupuncture. My mother, who we lost, 8 years ago, she was so healthy her whole life, and then she had a weird shoulder injury, and she knew someone like Alinda, and that person, you know, knew acupuncture, and it really, really, really worked, and it really saved her, really helped her through lots and lots of pain in the shoulder with a weird injury that she had. And that's what Linda's about. I mean, her books are, it's not just the book we talked about, she's got books that have, you know, she's got a self-help book, and she talks about suffering from pain. She's got a book for preteens. She's got an adventure thriller. She, in that adventure thriller, which is for kids that are like 18 to 11 years old, she says that was inspired because of a journey that she made to what was then Burma, which now is Myanmar, which involved heroin and finding self-belief and courage and fortitude and all that. And just, wow. I mean, the book, it was like I was looking at the book, of course, we talked about was The Power of Childhood Dreams, to help you have a successful future. But she also has that book that I briefly mentioned there, where a self-help guide, Turn Pain Off, and how to alleviate muscle skeletal pain using trigger point release, you know, using those techniques. And I'll tell you, that's, again, another thing that has helped so, so many people. But if you go to her website, you can see, you know, you can find out more about her and find out more about some of the other stories that she certainly that she's written, and The Power of Childhood Dreams, which is what we talked about. I love the idea of setting kids up instead of the normal fare that sometimes you get, the fantasy kind of children's books. This book really kind of setting you up, not kind of, but really setting you up as your kids up as, you know, moving forward, and what do you learn in this tale and reading this tale. And I think that you learn a lot of things that when I was a kid, boy, that could have helped me, let me tell you. And she talks about, right from the very beginning, an encounter, the old man and Liam, and that kind of stuff. And just the imagination in this book is really spectacular. It really, really pops out at you. So very happy to have Linda be one of the many authors that we've talked to on the show this year. It's just been great. She's a high impact author, as I like to say. There have been many that we've been privileged to talk to, and she certainly added something to the conversation. So stay with us, everybody.
SuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells.
Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
With protection for your motorcycle, boat, and RV, your Progressive policy works the way it's supposed to. Unlike this indecisive sports talk host.
All right, welcome to the Big Shark Show.
Hey, Big Shark, any predictions for the game tonight?
Well, if you ask me, they are definitely going to win big, but I also think there's a chance they don't win. It's just my gut that they will. Or they won't, but I do have a hunch that whatever happens, we will definitely know when it does.
Wait, so...
Either way, they always seem to come up with a big play, or sometimes just a smaller one.
Switch to Progressive today.
Bottom line, they're going to win. Or lose.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Taking you to the UK, just outside of London, Malcolm Chapman is in what I call our virtual green room, and he's written a book called The Boy Who Didn't Touch the Ball, a football story for young or old with added coaching material. And more relevant now than ever, and especially in talking about the game, even the game in the UK versus the game in the United States, because, of course, we're talking about soccer in the U.S. Malcolm, thanks for coming on.
Okay.
What you've been coaching for 40 years, have you seen, like, all kinds of changes in equipment, in techniques, things that happen in playing the game?
Oh, I think so. I mean, if I go back to the first time I put a team together based around a youth club, and they were under 14s, and we didn't have a kit. Now you scraped a kit together. I mean, nowadays every team has a new kit every year. We don't go out with six balls, we go out with 20. It's a bit more kit around, and we've got a lot more facilities, which is in a small country. We don't have the land mass to keep building AstroTurf type pitches, but we've got quite a lot now.
What started your interest in the game of football?
Oh, in soccer, years ago. I've always interested in the game. I wasn't mad about the culture. And I think I was just in the youth club and a couple of kids were asked me about forming a team and it grew from there. The next thing, we had a club with four or five teams and it grew and carried on like that for 20 years or so.
Wow, 20 years. What's the best thing about coaching for you?
I think smiling kids' faces, really, at the end of the day. If you teach them something, you might teach them something in February, and when you see they actually do it the following November, you think, oh, well, it's sunk in at last. A senior player, you'd say, try this. And then within 10 minutes, he's taking it on board. But with kids, it might take a year or two before they pick up what they've been taught.
Yeah. The book, again, is on Amazon, The Boy Who Didn't Touch the Ball, A Football Story for Young or Old with Added Coaching Material. We're talking to Malcolm Chapman. And tell us the story about The Boy Who Didn't Touch the Ball. Give us a little sneak peek of what it's about.
Right. It's quite technical because I was sitting in the coffee bar trying to think, how do I get boys not to go diving in? Because the idea is football, there's the ball, here I go, feet in, studs in. If I don't kick someone, I'll probably get a kick. And even in the senior game, even at the highest level, to me, they're diving into tackles and challenges too quickly. So how do you get kids to appreciate that in a five-a-side match, there's 10 boys on the pitch, but it's only one ball? What are you doing for the other 50 minutes of the hour when you haven't got the ball? Are you just chasing after it? No. So it started with that, and I thought, I was also thinking about what happens with a boy who joins a team and he's new, he's very shy, nobody passes to him, which is very wrong. You have to always tell kids, if somebody's having a bad day or if somebody's new, feed them. Feed them the ball, make them confident. Otherwise, you're playing a man down. So that's part of it. But then this boy started hanging back behind the action in the story. And he slowed the other team down. Rather than diving into tackle, he slowed them down. I even made them run towards the corner of the pitch so they couldn't score. He didn't even realize it, but his manager noticed that created time for his teammates to come back. So they were now a much better defensive outlet, even though the boy didn't touch the ball. And as the game went on in the second half, he just kept shadowing the other players, slowing them down. And in the end, he jumps over the ball to throw a dummy. And you know, he did all the things that can happen when you don't touch a ball, because you can watch the highest level games and there'll be a world-class player who doesn't see the ball for 10 minutes, but he might be making runs. He might be taking the other team's defenders this way and that way and making space for somebody else. So, yeah, it just all started. How do you teach this to kids? And then I thought, all right, it's a little story here.
Yeah, and it is a story. It's a good story. It's an interesting story about all those things that you just said. I mean, what a powerful line. Feed them the ball if someone's not, you know, build up their confidence. And, you know, get them in the game and help your teammates. It is a team sport. So I guess that's the, you know, we live in a world where there's so much emphasis on creating your brand and individuality. But the better you get the team concept, I guess, right, the better these teams or some of the teams you've coached, probably the better the performance.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a team game, and the sooner they learn that, they don't always learn that at a very young age. It might take half a season, and they start to get it. Other kids drop out and think, I want to play an individual sport, so they find themselves doing something totally different. But, I mean, those kids have got only see their own component of the game and not the team. Probably not going to go very far. They might play for a couple of years, and then so it is important, the teamwork and the contributions you can make without touching the ball are immense.
What do you hope that people who who are listening to our interview and people who have come across your book and get your book, what do you hope they take away from anybody who reads your book? What do you hope they take away from reading the book?
Maybe some ideas. That's why I've used a lot of technical terms. And I just put the technical glossary in the back to explain things which are quite advanced, like rotation, which is like when two players swap position, temporary, and closing down, showing down, where you let the other player have the ball, but you don't let him run where he wants to run. You make him run where you want him to run. So, yeah, I've put all that in the back. So there is some coaching information there. It's probably more used to the coach than it is to a nine-year-old, because it's probably quite a... I mean, I hope nine-year-olds would read it, but it's probably more data there for a young coach or parents that have been dragged into the coaching scenario.
And there are a lot of those people across the U.S. and in so many other places listening to us around the world. Malcolm Chapman, thanks for coming on.
Okay, Doug.
So interesting talking to Malcolm Chapman about football, what some countries call soccer. You know, you look at the popularity of Ted Lasso, and lots of Americans who play football, a.k.a. soccer, who have kids in it, who don't know the rules. This book is perfect for, and the terms, learning the terms is perfect for so many of you. I mean, clearly, it says in the book, it could be for older or younger people. You think of football as just the national sport in England. And I was looking up some statistics about football, and they had generated about a turnover of about 468 million British pounds in 2019, mostly through broadcasting rights, sponsorship, licensing. And I look at that like the NFL, and it's it. You know, this is the sport, but it is also a very big participation sport in the United States. Children playing. I see tons of soccer fields. And then, of course, there's professional. There's the professional ranks in Dallas. There's a team, and going to see it is so fun. And there are so many interesting players that are out there, but a lot of people don't necessarily understand the rules. And then they go to watch to take it back and teach it to their kids, teach more to their kids. So I would say to you, in looking at that and looking at, you know, his book, he's got that. The Boy Who Didn't Touch the Ball is a football story, like he says, for young or old, with added coaching material. That's the key, added coaching material. So you can find that on Amazon or any place where good books are sold. And thanks to all of you for listening to not only this interview, but this show. So hashtag make it count, everybody. You're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports Hall of Famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.